अहं सर्वस्य प्रभवः मतः सर्वं प्रवर्तते इति मत्वा भजन्ते माम् बोधभावसमन्विता. Translation: I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Yes. So Lord Krishna says, He is the source of all spiritual and all material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise, who know this perfectly, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Yes, everything we encounter is Krishna's energy. Therefore, in one sense, we are always associating with Krishna. Krishna says that he is the taste in water. And Prabhupada said, Krishna is even the taste in whiskey, right? Krishna is the taste in everything. There is no doubt about it. Without Krishna, there would be no taste. Can you imagine a world without Krishna? A world without taste. And this is exactly what those who deny Krishna are experiencing. A world without taste. But they try to fill it. They try to fill the vacuum with so many things. Walt Disney, and everybody is so happy, so happy, so happy in Disney World. Yes, it looks a bit plastic, doesn't it? So, this is the problem, that we are trying to fill the vacuum which comes about when Krishna is no longer present in the equation. But at that point, there is no taste. Everything, no taste. Like food without Krishna, no taste. Nothing compares to prasadam. People are trying, they try in so many ways, but it's not really so enjoyable. Right? We find that there are people who are living off the garbage cans, right? And because they're full of food. Full of pizzas, full of thrown away things, you know. There are people who just live off that. Right. Yes. How much is thrown away, right? We are the society which dumps everything, right? Just dump, right? Dump it, dump it, dump it. Right? Whatever it is, dump. It's a big dump, right? The world has become a dump, right? This is what we're doing. We're working like crazy. We're driving over this planet with neck-breaking speed. We're digging up all kinds of things, and then we dump them. Right? Then we dump them. We dig deep holes in the world. We pump like things from the core of the planet. We transform it into different things, like from oil we make plastic. Don't ask me how, but we are doing it. Right? And the next thing is we dump it. Right? We dump it everywhere. And it says that the plastic island in front of New York City is now almost as big as the city itself. It's growing, yes. Soon it will catch up, right? So, in this way, we are trying to fill the emptiness in our heart, because Anandamoy Vyasat, the living entity, by nature is pleasure-seeking. By nature, everyone needs to feel satisfied and happy, right? Whatever it is. But the material world is such a place that when the front side is warm and comfortable, then the back side is freezing, right? This is the nature of material life. You can't win. You can never get everything perfect. Yesterday, we were reminiscing South Africa and Australia, and we were talking, oh, in South Africa, Krishna consciousness, right? Yes, in South Africa, Krishna consciousness. big temples, right? In Durban alone, two big temples and some 40 Namahattas, right? Each with 30 people, no less. And yes, a Ratha Yatra for 5 days. Oh, oh. But then again, the security, that's the other side of things. When the newspaper seller at the traffic light has a gun hidden in his newspaper and says he wants to get into your car and take you for a drive, then you think, well, maybe Australia's not so bad after all. In that way, the material world, every situation has its pros and cons. Some come from India and say, oh, India, so nice, so this, so that. But then again, Australia has other nice things that India doesn't have. Let us just be frank. So in this way, what can we say? You can't win because it is the material world. And as long as one is trying to win in the material world, then Srimad Bhagavatam is pointing out parabhavastavattabhudhajatu yigyasitu na yigyasitu atmatattvam, that anyone who is not into atmatattva, atmatattva means the knowledge concerning the absolute truth, anyone who is not inquiring na yigyasitu atmatattvam parabhavastavattabhudhajatu, he will be defeated in this material world. Always defeated, right? But of course, you know, you don't show that to the world. How are you? I am happy, perfectly happy. Everything is fine, wonderful. Yes, it is beautiful, 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 great, 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 right? Fantastic, yeah, everything wonderful. And meanwhile, behind every facade, there is a whole drama being performed. Right. So what can we say? This is material life. Without Krishna, one is just simply being swept up in the waves of material existence, and there is no way around it. And we say, oh, but I'm young and I'm full of energy. Let me enjoy a little. Go ahead. Go ahead. Try. The mouse that saw the cheese was saying the same thing, but did not realize there was a trap attached to that cheese. The fish that is swimming in the water with his big eyes, you think that he has no brains? You think that he doesn't know that that big fat worm is tied, terribly fixed to a terrible hook? You think the fish doesn't know? Yes, he knows. He knows there's a hook. But that worm looks so good. You know, what can you do? But so he swims past one time, three times, four times, such a nice worm. And he thinks, well, what if I nibble a little bit of the side of that bait? And just a little. Nothing will happen. And he took a little bite. Nothing happened. Nothing at all. So then he took another. Saying, well, just one more little bite. One more. And then finally, on the hook again. So this is material life. Everyone in the same boat. We know very well that the material world is full of danger, but we play with this danger. Right? We take a chance. Why not? You know, we want to enjoy. Because happiness is what we are looking for. Everyone wants happiness. Some say, no, but I want rather some security in the world. I don't want adventure at all, right? No, don't give me adventure. Some people are looking for adventure. Jump from a plane and just pull the parachute only at the last few hundred meters and just go for a free fall. I just saw a picture on the airport of a group of people who had a dinner while hanging off a cliff. And they had hung the table off the cliff. Right? And they had seats all around it, and it was hanging on ropes, and they were sitting there in their dining clothes, like sitting down and having dinner at the cliff, hundreds of meters below. Right? The drop. They said nothing much fell off the table other than a salt shaker that unfortunately didn't survive the adventure, but otherwise everyone came off unharmed, and in fact everyone had a good appetite, they say. No problem at all. Yes. So people are doing the craziest things. Crazy things just for kicks and just for getting attention. Oh yes, because when everyone is falling at your feet, oh, when everyone adores you, when the millions are waving at you, then, oh yes, oh Dan, oh, I am a star. I am a star. Right, yes, then the misery really begins, right? We know very well the scandals surrounding these stars are really something else, yes. So in this material world, success is actually failure, again and again, because there is no real taste in the material world, and therefore one always has to change. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that whatever new experience looks to us like an ocean today, there seem to be no limits to this new experience. There seem to be endless horizons and opportunities like an ocean. And gradually with time, it shrinks to the size of a pond, right? Which feels very narrow and suffocating. And one feels, well, maybe it's time to move on, right? And it happens again and again in the material world. Each time again, after a while, the new place is not as exciting as it seemed to be. And in this way, life goes on. But then with time, one begins to appreciate, well, you know, but we have it good. We have it good. We have so many good things, and let us just be happy as long as it lasts, right? Appreciate the good things in life, right? And just be happy with that. But this is also, again, only holding on to an illusion, because everything in this world is temporary. So that also does not make sense. So without Krishna, really, no hope. Therefore, let us add Krishna to our life. Whew, a total transformation. Now Krishna is there. Oh, we don't know how he comes. He can come in so many ways. Sometimes he comes through tradition. Sometimes he comes by surprise. The first time I ever saw a picture of Krishna was in a cartoon. I don't know why, but somehow or other I saw a cartoon about Krishna. Right? A whole film about his life and what he did and so on. I don't know. It was in some little cultural center and they were showing it, and it was Krishna. Again, I saw pictures of Krishna in the Banaras University, where in the art department they have a museum, and I checked it out. And lots of pictures of Krishna. It was very nice. But I was wondering, why always Krishna? Why Krishna became such a great hero? Why is Krishna the major theme in all the art? I was thinking, why? Right? Nowhere else did I see so much worship of Krishna in India. Nowhere. But in that museum, when I looked, I saw that all the paintings were of Krishna. All of them, all the old art of India, practically all about Krishna. And then, but I thought, but for the rest in India, you don't see that much of Krishna. Shiva Lingams, you see plenty, Durga, so many things you see, but Krishna not that much. Not that much. But in Vrindavan, different. Krishna everywhere. That was really another world there in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there every house is known to be a temple. When I came to Vrindavan and began to live in Vrindavan, it was much simpler than it's now. The main road leading into Vrindavan was very narrow, and there would not be much traffic at all. Maybe two ambassadors every day, lots of tongas, and some cycle rickshaws were there, but that was it, right? No scooters, nothing. It was just and lots of bullock carts, etc. It was actually very simple, because at that time, not so many motor vehicles were there in India. Some scooters were there, but not that many. Some motorbikes, you know, but not nothing like today with big traffic jams, etc. Things were much different, more simple. And at that time, every house was an ashram, really, an ashram. Now there are many bungalows, right? Bungalows of people have settled, air-conditioned, etc. But previously, such things were not there. There were only ashrams, and people were staying in these ashrams, and that's what was there. Things have changed. There was only one telephone in our temple. We had one telephone in the guest house on the desk, and sometimes it would ring. Hello! Hello! And the other side also, hello! Hello! I say, wow! It works, right? You could even book a call. You'd say, tuk, 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 operator, yes, trunk call. Trunk call, okay. Want to book a call to Delhi. Trunk call to Delhi, good. And then he was supposed to ring you back, which he never did. And then you were ringing him back, but you couldn't get him anymore. Busy. The number was busy after that. Yeah? So it was like that. There was one way of calling. It was very costly. 7 times the normal price. It was lightning call. Lightning call. Operator. Lightning call. Oh, ha, ha, ha. Lightning call. Yes. Okay. Just wait. Just wait. Then, you know, you could get possibly 3 minutes to Delhi, right? But you would scream in the receiver and the other side said, what? Huh? What? Like that. So we gave up on telephones. We gave up on the post as well, because letters would arrive 6 months too late and were totally outdated. There was no email. Wonderful days. Can you imagine? Days without cyberspace. Can you imagine that those days existed? Yes, they did. Right. Such simple life. Drawing the water from the well simply by the bucket and the rope. Simple life. Yes. And actually, that kind of life makes sense. We see that nowadays, modern people, oh no, they don't want to draw water from a well with a bucket. No way. You know, just turn on the tap and whoosh, there it comes, right? Nice and warm, just the temperature that I like it, right? And then, afterwards, you have to do some exercise, some weightlifting and things, or some bending. Why not just pull up a bucket with water, right? But the same thing, you know, now we're sitting on the floor, but they made nice chairs, etc., for comfortable sitting, good supports on all sides, etc. And what do people have to do who live in furniture like that? They have to come and sit on the floor and perform some yoga for health. So let us just do these things straight away, and we'll stay healthy, right? Obviously, better for the spine to sit just straight on the ground, like that. Simple living actually has many benefits and makes sense. Then one can spend some time to remember Krishna. And this remembrance of Krishna is very, very valuable. It's like somehow or other we are so busy working to pay for all the things that we have that we never have any time to spend with all the things that we have, right? Because we're too busy working to pay for it. This is modern times, right? So maybe something went wrong in the formula. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita offers us a new approach. It offers us the approach to remember Krishna all the time. In any situation, remember Krishna. Smartavyam satatam visnor vismartavyo najatu sit. Anywhere, at any time, remember Krishna. So, how to do that? Let's say, how do we remember Krishna while driving? Any suggestions? I mean, I have a problem here, being a driver, you know. What do I do? Could chant while driving. Okay, sit there chanting. But then some idiot, you know, pulls in front of my car. And what do I say then, you know? Can you chant all the time? That is not easy. In the mind, well, okay, but who can do that? Is there anyone who can really do that? In the mind. My mind goes all over the place. My mind goes to India, goes to, and jumps right over to New York City, and is in Australia, and goes all around the world. I don't know what your mind does, but my mind is very quick. It goes everywhere. So, no, I think this is not a practical proposal. I mean, if you don't mind, you know, I mean, maybe for you it works to chant all the time, but for me, no. So I need a solution. How do I be Krishna conscious in my car while driving? Okay, well, hold on, one at a time. Yes? Yes, so go ahead. Krishna Kirtan on the tape. Okay, play the tape. That helps a little bit, I guess, you know, but then again, you know, the mind, even with the tape, you know, the mind just in so many material things. So is it enough to just have a Krishna tape in the car? I don't know. Is it? Everyone think, no, not enough? Yeah, I also have my doubts, and I get some support there. Okay, what was your idea? Same thing. She was, you know, two souls, one mind, eh? Any other suggestions? What can I do with my car? Okay, I play a tape. I chant also, as long as my mind allows me to. Anything else I can do in the car? Pray to Lord and Sringadev for my dear Lord Sringadev. Please protect me. Adi. Where am I going in my car? I'm driving around. I don't know exactly. I'm going to work, I guess. Okay, go to the temple, but then I have to go to work, and then I can meditate on my work. I can't drive to the temple all the time, can I? Unless Adi offers us a job. Use the cars in Krishna's service. Okay, what? How do you do that? You know, Krishna. Oh dear Krishna, please sit in my car. All right. I'll give you a drive around town, you know? And Krishna, plop, appears in the back. You see in the mirror, you see him sitting with the flute, and you just go for a drive with him, eh? Ayodhya. Why was he looking? To the front or in the mirror? Anyway, but that's not a bad idea at all. So in the seat next to him, there's a picture of Krishna. Is that how it was? I'm pretty good. Well, that's definitely... That's one way. I mean, original solution. In India, you do see that people have whole temples on the dashboard, right? Usually flashing lights inside, green and red and everything, right? Everyone has the whole Taj Mahal or whatever it is. Everyone has something up there. Mandir. Aha. Karime. And there is a garland. And there is a lemon or something and some chili hanging from the mirror. Nowadays, the latest is there is a CD hanging from the mirror. Right? I don't know why the old lemon and chili that used to hang from the mirror has been now changed for a CD. That every car has now a CD hanging off the mirror. Can anyone tell me? It reminds us maybe of the Sudarshan Chakra. That's the best I can come up with. It's something. They think it will protect the car. Yeah. Well, I think all these ideas were quite good, you know. I like a Yojidev solution, right? A picture of Krishna or a life-size deity of Krishna. It is a fact that sometimes we drive around with the deity of Prabhupada for a program, and people think he's really there. That is a fact. Anyway, so in this way, yes, these are all solutions for making our drive more Krishna consciousness and more Krishna conscious. So in the same way, we have to just get to work to get all that together while driving. That's a whole bit of organization, but if you're serious about it, I guess it can be pulled off. Same way with the house to be made Krishna conscious, everything. Now, at work, how do you stay Krishna conscious at work? Can anybody give any solutions to that? That seems to be very difficult. How do you do that? Preaching to people. You think they like that all day? Like, you know, that comes again. Oops, you know, here comes the hurry. Watch out, you know. Everywhere you go, you see people going into doors and closing. Yes. Just remember Krishna. And the boss says, hey, are you there? I'm really busy, boss. Sometimes you may just have to pay attention to your work. So what do you do then? A customer comes in, you know, and says, Krishna! What? You know? Yeah. So I don't know if it's a nice sentiment, but I don't know if it's going to work. Yeah, any other solutions? Yeah. 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 Okay. Okay. So, and then the boss gets the profit. Who gets the, I mean, we work very hard. You get the profit. I see. Okay. I think the philosophy that you are presenting is based on the Bhagavad Gita. On the verse, yat karusi yat tasnasi yat juhusi dadasi yat yatapasyasi kuntiya tat kurusu madarpanam. Which means that whatever you do, whatever work you perform, whatever you eat, whatever sacrifice you make, do all that as an offering to me. In this verse is the verse on which one bases the philosophy of karma yoga. So what you are propounding is the philosophy of karma yoga. At least an attempt towards karma yoga. Although it says that karmani evadikaras cha mafulesa kadachuna ma karma phala hetur bhu mati sangasta karmani. So, which means that we can perform our duty, but the fruits of that duty must be offered to Krishna. So the problem is that if we work in a good spirit for Mr. Shell or for some other company, and all the profit goes to the company, we may perform our duty and we may get some benefit there, but yet it is said the fruits of our labor belong to Krishna. So what about that? So maybe it's not enough if we just work in a diligent way in the office, if we consider that other verse. I know the yat kurusi yat juhusi dadasi yat verse, but what if we combine that with the karmane evadikaras verse, right? And we put these two together, which are both dealing with karma yoga. Then we're seeing that karma yoga, simply by performing the duty nicely, in the spirit that I'm doing it for Krishna, that is a good sentiment, but it is not complete, because in the verse Karmani Avadikaraste, Krishna clearly says we have to offer the fruits of our labor to him to be Krishna conscious. So it's not good enough according to Krishna. Krishna is very demanding, actually, in the Gita. He wants very high standard. So what is the solution then? You get fruits at your work, huh? In the bank, you know, they give you fruits. It's like, huh? Fruit cakes once, yeah? How often do you get those? That's what you get when you go home, you get a fruit cake, and your wife is saying, you fruit cake. other customers. Uh-huh. I see. Yes, very nice. True. Prabhupada said that also, because Prabhupada said just like a boy, he wants to impress some girl, and therefore he wants to give her a very nice ring. So the ring is very costly, so he must work the whole week, a whole week's salary he has to spend on that ring. And the whole week while he's working, he's thinking of that ring. He's just thinking, I'm going to buy that ring, right? And so the whole week, a whole week's salary spent on that ring, and you know, in this way, he has actually worked the whole week for her. Right? Yeah, he worked the whole week for her. Everyone would agree to that. So in the same way, whatever of our earnings we give to Krishna, that adds to it. And that solves the second injunction. The first injunction was very right, what you said, by the way, that one should work like that. But then the second injunction is one must offer the fruits also. Yes, so that, and of course, while working for Krishna, we cannot become involved in sinful activity, which is the problem nowadays, because if you have any job, many jobs are mixed, too many jobs are mixed. So we cannot diligently work for the impure things, like one devotee friend of mine is making catalogs on the computer, and he makes for different companies, he makes brochures and catalogs and things like that. But yes, then sometimes the big supermarket has a nice order, but there is also the non-veg section in there. That order, he lets it go. He has to. Otherwise, what can you do? You cannot very devotionally make nice brochure for a non-vegetarian company. Right. But then again, in the Gita it says that every work is covered by some fault. What can you do? You work in a big company and the company is doing these things. You're an accountant, you do audits, right? You're an auditor. Sometimes you audit a company that touches some impure substances. What can be done? These things come up in the work, right? So what will happen to our Krishna consciousness if in the course of our job we get involved in these things? Do we get the karma? Do we lose our Krishna consciousness by being involved in these things for making our money? Well, we have to be a little careful. We cannot go too far in these things, obviously. We have to even in India, there are certain jobs that traditionally are not taken up, certain things. Nowadays, yes. But traditionally, like Gujaratis are known to be very good at business, but certain things in the Gujarati community are not acceptable. Leather, wine, right? These are looked down upon. These are not good businesses. Of course, nowadays, there's plenty of leather coming out of Kanpur, right? Lots of it, right? And being exported all over the world. Many are in leather export. But this is, of course, if one engages in such a thing, then there is intense karma involved. So we must have some standards of purity in our work to have Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness has far-reaching consequences. Some jobs they work, and some jobs they say, well, even if there's good money in them, I don't know about that, you know. To work in a non-vegetarian restaurant is not the best, right? Because whoever, it is stated in the Manu Samhita, whoever kills the animal, whoever carries the meat, whoever... Certain things are, one must be careful in this material world. And that's how it is. We want to be happy, we want to enjoy, we want a nice life, but at the same time, Krishna consciousness means not only that we spend the whole day remembering Krishna, 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 that we cannot do anyway. Then you get hungry, and then where do you get the money? So no, this is difficult. But it also means that we rearrange our life according to the desire of Krishna. So there is also a whole lot of indirect duties that are there for the pleasure of Krishna. We have to reorganize our lives. Certain things have to go. And certain types of jobs become taboo. And although it's easy money, right? Obviously. Like that. Krishna consciousness in our job has to be maintained. So everyone wants to enjoy. That's okay. Let's enjoy. There is no bar to enjoyment. But we cannot enjoy against the desire of Krishna. So, like for example, some people enjoy eating flesh of animals. Oh yes, they enjoy. But it happens to be against the desire of Krishna. So that's not possible. So there are many, we don't mind if someone wants to enjoy, go ahead, enjoy. Enjoy as much as you like. But not against the desire of Krishna. That's all. It is very simple. So Krishna consciousness, as besides remembering Krishna, regulates our life. And that means we act according to the desire of Krishna. If we do that, then we meet Krishna. Because one meets Krishna, not only in looking at the deities of Krishna, but one meets Krishna by living in his, according to his directions. Then one comes on a path which really brings us to Krishna. Right. The more one follows the directions of Krishna, the more Krishna consciousness one will have. We can chant the whole day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then if at night we throw a vat of beer inside, then the progress of that chanting will be not so great. Then it goes very slow. If one chants and at the same time performs other activities. There were people, devotees, that were so-called devotees of Krishna that we met. They were chanting, they had a chanting beat, but they had drugs in the other hand, a joint in the other hand, right? So, what is the benefit? Such chanting will take a long, long time before it has result. So if one really wants to encounter Krishna and be Krishna conscious, then purity is required. And we must purify our whole life systematically, step by step, little by little. Everyone has some bad habits because it is Kali Yuga. There is no one exempt from bad habits. Right? So everyone has a difficult task there. Everyone has something to conquer. Everyone is... habit means that we've done it for a long time and that it's difficult to give up. That's a habit. Every habit is difficult to give up. So everyone has, naturally, something to give up that is difficult in Krishna consciousness. And we have to build up strength. There was a little girl in a village, and one day her father asked her if she could lift a little calf. And she said, yes, I can do that. He said, can you lift? He said, can you carry the calf up the staircase? And she was putting the calf on her shoulders and carried it up the staircase. And after and then the father said, now can you do it every day? She said, no problem. And after 1 year, she was carrying a bull up the stairs. Right. So this is the way that the impossible can be done by practice. So therefore, when someone chants, we ask, how many rounds are you chanting every day? We don't ask, come sometimes and get into a deep devotional mood and just experience the bhav, right? Yes, we can come to the temple and we can sing sweet bhajans and we can get into the devotional atmosphere and mood. And this is very nice. Is it? Oh, I feel like chanting now. I really feel like chanting. But why do I have to chant every day? Every day, a fixed number. Because the practice builds up. By practice, we actually form a new habit. And the old habits go down. So, by practice in the chanting and in the spiritual activity, the same number every day, fixed number every day. We're building up the strength by which we can say no to the old habits. Otherwise, it's not possible. If one wants to actually be Krishna conscious, it cannot be done on the strength of just understanding. The Bhagavad Gita are the words of Krishna. And reading the Gita is very important. But yet, reading the Gita alone is not enough. We see that in India, people have grown up with the Gita. Many people know something from Gita. At least everyone knows Paritranaya Sadhana. Okay, next. What? Sambhavama Yuga, you guys. See? Everybody knows. And anywhere in India, everybody knows this verse. Everybody knows this slok, right? I don't think there is one person who doesn't know. Everybody knows. And many other. Some people, in fact, are quite knowledgeable in the Gita. Many verses. Some of our practicing devotees would be shocked, you know, to find how many verses these people know. I mean, they don't know. Right. And even there are many people who are trying to implement principles of the Gita and work according to this concept of performing one's duty and living a life of duty. And this is appreciated. But not enough to give up the old bad habits. Not enough. And this is the problem. That can only be done if we build up new, positive, spiritual habits. Therefore, chanting every day. Chanting every day. Yes. And the best time to chant, of course, is before the world wakes up. Right? Why do we stand up or get up in the morning at like 4 o'clock? At what I used to think was an ungodly hour, right? I think at this ungodly hour of 4 o'clock, right? 4 o'clock in the middle of the night. Why? Well, because at that time, everything is very, very peaceful. At that time, the world is still asleep. Everyone is still asleep. We've got the whole world to ourselves. If early in the morning, when it's a little warmer, not in this season, but you go outside for a walk, you share the road with the cockatoos and the galahs and a kangaroo here in Canberra, I guess, comes out of the bush, and that's about it. No people. This is very nice, actually. Therefore, those early morning hours are the best time for chanting. Very peaceful and very nice. Then, if one learns to just forget everything else, switch off. One very wealthy person was Rockefeller, right? And Rockefeller was famous for one statement. And the statement was, he said, they asked him, what is the reason that you became so wealthy? He said, the key to my success is that as soon as I stepped out of the office, I forgot all about it. I never thought about it again until I got back into the office. So this is very important, because many people, they can't forget. They keep on thinking about so many things in their mind. But early in the morning when we chant, forget. Forget everything. Just chant. Just chant. Just for 2 hours, forget everything. It's not so long. And if we do that, that will give us so much strength and power that throughout the day we will be Krishna conscious. It's more powerful than anything. More powerful than playing tapes in the car. More powerful than trying to do some form of karma yoga. More, because it's pure bhakti yoga. And it says, yoginam api sarvesham matkate nantaratmana. That of all forms of yoga, this bhakti yoga is the topmost form of yoga. Bhaktyamam abhijanati javanyaschitsmitatvataha. It is only through bhakti that one can attain Krishna, Krishna says. So these 2 hours in the morning, this is it. Just 2 hours in the morning. It's all the ask, actually. 2 hours in the morning for chanting. Out of 24, two. And the funny thing is, when you start doing it, after a while, you find you need less sleep. So actually, you don't lose any time at all. Right? Yeah, you don't even lose those 2 hours. Right? And that way, It is an amazing thing to just spend these 2 hours every day. And then, and nothing else, just chant. And this is wonderful because, you see, everything else, you never know what's going to happen. You never know. Anything can happen anytime, right? Good things, bad things. And those who are older, they know. Those who are young are walking around with big plans and thinking or in anxiety. What am I going to do with my life? The older people said, just wait a while. Life will happen to you. Right? You know, you will see. You know, life has a will of its own, my friend. Right? It's not that. It's up to you to make something out of it. That's what you think. So, we don't know what's going to happen. Good and bad will come. But if this chanting, 2 hours every day only. Oh, 2 hours only. We're getting very cheap today. 2 hours only. Yeah, very old. It's a bargain. It's a sale. Right? 2 hours only. And somehow or other then, all throughout the day, it will help us to remember Krishna. It will help us to do everything for Krishna. Even in the midst when we have to do mundane things, still we are protected. All throughout, in the car, on the road, in the house, on the job, wherever we are, in the air, on the ground, while we are suffering or while we are enjoying, it will protect us all along. Right? In the midst of suffering, we need some shelter. Krishna is there, the holy name. While we're enjoying, we better be careful we don't enjoy the wrong things because we get in real trouble. Right? Watch out now, you know. So enjoy, enjoy, but do it in the right way. And by those 2 hours of chanting, we will be protected so that we will enjoy in the right way and will be saved from sinful activities that all go on the karma bill. In Delhi, you had to one vegetarian restaurant, and years ago, we sometimes used to eat there. Now, as a Swami, I will not do such thing. But then I was Grihastha, and then sometimes I used to do. Yes. So in this restaurant, right, they used to give such small portions. It was one of those stingy restaurants, you know, a stingy restaurant. It's really like you sit down, and you're hungry, and you order these things, and it's not enough, right? And then everything you take more, you have to pay, right? Every puri, you want extra, you have to pay. And it's like, you know, they get you like that because you're starving, you're eating, right? And then you just start ordering more. So, you know, you ordered all these things. And then in the end, the waiter came with the bill, and it's an incredible bill, right? It's a shock. It blows you right out. And he said, oh, we didn't have all this. And then he goes, oh, yes, you did, you know. It came in this bowl. Okay, I guess but we didn't have that. Yes, you had that. It was on that plate. Right, but we didn't have those second puris. Yes, you had. Anyway, so there is so much on that bill, and we can't remember, but they do, right? They do. They record everything on the bill, right? So when Jagai and Madai, I'll end with this story, and then I'll let you take Prasadam. So don't worry. Okay. When Jagai and Madai. Right? They were two brothers from Brahmin family who had fallen down at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were there and they were drunks and criminals and misbehaving in the town of Navadvip. It is said that whatever sinful activities are being performed by some person, at the end of one's life, one is judged by Yamaraj for these activities. And that Yamaraj has an assistant who is a scribe named Chitragupta. Right? So Chitragupta, he is maintaining the scribe department where they keep the records of all the sinful activities. And Chitragupta has many assistants. They are messengers and they are the actual scribes who are writing and who keep the records, etc. So it said these brothers were so sinful, people were running up and down with messages about their sinful activities. The messengers were falling exhausted by the wayside. The scribes got cramp in their hands. They couldn't keep it up. Those who were keeping all the records didn't know where to store them anymore. Right? That's how many sinful activities Jagai and Madai were performing. Everything was there on the bill. Right? So, you can imagine what's already there on our account. Right? There's already a lot there from before. Somehow or other we got in contact with Krishna consciousness or got serious about Krishna consciousness. Unfortunately, we were not always serious about Krishna consciousness, and already from before, so many things are on the karma bill. So what to do? There is no way. One will have to pay in the end. In the end, one will have to pay. But if we take to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna looks at that bill and says, oh, well, okay, take this off, take that off. All right, for this, pay only 10%. For that, you know, and in this way, right? You get away with a good deal, you know. You get away with a steal. In other words, you know, this chanting is not just an ordinary thing. It just liberates us from the whole karma bill, and everything is on there. And although we may say, no, but I never did that. But if they replay the movie of your life, oh boy, it's right there. Oh boy, I did put that in my pocket, actually, and never gave it. I forgot to give it back. Right? I didn't steal it, I just forgot. Stealing. It's on there. Right? But it wasn't stealing, I just borrowed it. Right? Yes, you borrowed it and never returned it, right? So, like this, an intelligent person will take to the chanting of the holy name and will then realize everything about Krishna. It is so simple. From that chanting, everything else will follow. All the good standards of the Gita will then become practical for us. Once there was a lecture, and after the lecture was finished, the comment was given, oh, how was the lecture? Oh, it was very theoretical. All comments from the scriptures. Right? But the scriptures are not meant to be theoretical. The scriptures are meant to be practical. So that was a very revealing statement. Anyone who said that means he wasn't following the scriptures at all. These scriptures are practical books. One is meant to follow them. But where do we get the strength to follow them? From the chanting. That's it. Only 2 hours every day. Nothing. And if 2 hours in one stretch is too much, then Prabhupada said, then there is another trick. You just do it 3 times before meals and once before taking rests. 3 times 4 and 1 times 4 before taking rest. That settles the whole matter. Right? So just like a medicine, you know, 3 times 4 before each meal, and 1 time before taking 1 time 4 before taking rest. Anyone can take medicine, so then we can do. And 4 takes only half an hour. Well, half an hour is nothing. In that way, and if it's really too difficult, then even another tip to chant those 4 difficult, no problem. You go for a walk, half-hour walk before the meals, and you walk 2 rounds away from the house, and you walk 2 rounds back from the house. Automatically, that's 4 rounds done before each meal, and it's good for your appetite as well. Right? So, what's a better way? Then there is a solution. If we make a plan, then surely we can manage to chant these rounds, and that is actually my request to you. Let us make such a plan so that we can relieve the karma bill. And once the karma bill is relieved, then I'm sure the whole city of Canberra will notice the presence of the Hare Krishna devotees. And soon it will grow and grow and grow. There is no doubt about it. There is plenty of space and there is lots of potential. And it's just a matter of how much we are into Krishna consciousness. The more enthusiastic we are, the more people will come, actually. Just like when you want to convince your children about something, right? You can lecture to them for hours, but they don't look at what you say. They look at what you do, right? My father gave me a big lecture about not lying. Right? You weren't allowed to lie. 5 minutes later, he took up the phone and he was lying. Picked up the phone and he's lying. Right? So I realized right there and then that the real thing is you're supposed to lie in such a way that it looks that you're not lying. Right? That's how you have to do it. Right? This is the real purport of what he was telling me. I picked it up right there. Right. So children don't look at what you say. Children look at what you do. Right. And not only children, people also. We can give big lecture, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, this is a wonderful thing, very good. But they don't look what we say, they look what we do. Therefore, if we do, oh, then everyone will say, okay, then they will also do. Okay, I'll stop. If there's any question or comment from your side, then I will... Yes. It comes from him, but also our independence comes from him. Krishna has given us independence. So, therefore, Krishna decides. Everything moves, not a blade of grass moves without Krishna's will, but yet we have the independence to make choices. Yes. So we have a choice to act for him or against him. That's up to us. Yes. So, but Krishna has given us only very little bit of independence, minute independence, not so much independence, because we are here in this world and we are caught up in the material nature. Now it's cold, so now we have the heater on, and in the summer we want air conditioning. So what can we do? We are just controlled, actually. Although we think, I'm free, I do what I want, but we are controlled. But still, he's given us the independence to be either devotee or demon. And in that way, we are responsible and not Krishna. Thank you for that.